broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
You are in the clubhouse. Welcome to June 22nd. The PGA Tour playing in Connecticut, the Travelers, the Champions Tour, and Compass, and Jay Coffin is joining us. You know, I went to bed last night. It was really cool because I knew the leaders on all three tours have been on my show and were terrific people to get to know. Bubba Watson spent 20 minutes talking with me during a Pearl Open one year, and Bernard Langer as well. You know, it was the start of the Champions Tour season, the Mitsubishi Championship, and you really got to understand his passion for the game. At 57, the guy is as passionate about playing the game of golf as he was when he was 16, pedaling his way several miles to the golf course. Delphi Waldorf, a great guy to talk with, loves wine, and of course, one of my favorite people, Ernie Els, who comes to Hawaii for the Sony Open whenever he can, designed Hawakale. Best handshake in the world. And, of course, we share a passion to help children with autism. So let's get the show on the road. GolfChannel.com editorial director Jay Coffin is our first guest. But first, we have to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. With this much traffic, you should ride in comfort. Introducing the Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Jam. And Star Protection. Get your property threat and risk assessment, then protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California.
Jay Coffin, editorial director for Golf Channel since 2008, in charge of the editorial strategy of the website. A very good website to go to. You can find everything from what the recreational player needs to know about how to play, what to play, where to play, all those sorts of things. And of course, Golf Channel also has Jay Coffin on Grey Goose 19th Hole on Thursdays and Fridays. It's at midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. Hawaii time. DVR it if you're not home by then. Welcome to the Golf Club Radio Show, Jay Coffin. It's good to have you in the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It was great meeting you at the Masters, and I want to congratulate you on the terrific, terrific ratings. GolfChannel.com and Golf Channel's mobile coverage of the U.S. Open. I mean, the most clicked week ever for page views, unique visitors, video starts. You really scored for the Open.
Yeah, you know, we did. It also, look, we could take some credit for it because there are a lot of people that work hard behind the scenes, but, you know, having Tiger kind of doing his thing for the first 2 days and then peeling off and then having Phil in the mix and that good finish at the end, that certainly does not hurt business, let's put it that way.
No, absolutely. It gave us a lot to talk about. I mean, Marion, I mentioned on Twitter, and you can follow Jay Coffin at Jay Coffin GC Golf Channel, that I was going to ask you about play. You got to play Marion the same setup as the professionals on Monday. How was that?
I did. It's one of those things, you win the lottery. There's 24 members of the media that were picked to play the following day. And, you know, at first I was excited, and then I thought, oh, my goodness, what have I got myself into? You know, a lot of these guys, world-class players, a couple of them didn't break 80 over the weekend. What do I think that I'm going to do, being a hack out there about a 16 handicap? And so, I was excited, then I was a little nervous, and then I got out there. You know what? It was fantastic. It was it obviously was brutally difficult. You hit the ball in the rough, and you kind of had to learn quickly to take your medicine and just kind of wedge out instead of trying to advance it. The greens, I think, I have a newfound respect for these guys just for how they putted these greens. These greens were just fierce. They were hard to read. They were quick downhill. They were slow uphill. But all in all, the day was fantastic. I thought the golf course was just great. It was one of the more fun layouts that I played. And, you know, I could envision you going back in a couple months under normal member circumstances, that it could be one of the most fun places that you could play.
Yeah,
it's a really, really neat experience.
It looks beautiful. I mean, I can see how Justin Rose said he fell in love with the course, fell in love with Marion, you know, just didn't know his last. That's a wonderful quote. And all of a sudden, the man who said that first has just gone straight out of my mind. Help me, Jay.
Lee Trevino.
Thank you very much. Of course, it was Lee Trevino. It's just so beautiful, so picturesque, and small. I like the fact that it's small, but it played so long. And I got to ask you about the rough now. Tiger Woods hurt his elbow or something, some part of his arm. It seems to be his elbow. He says it's his elbow. Can you understand that that could have happened given those conditions?
I do, especially if, you know, if it was tweaked a little bit before he got there, which he said it was. You know, he mentioned that maybe he tweaked it a little bit back at the Players and it wasn't totally right at the Memorial. I mean, you know, who knows? Tiger obviously is, you know, pretty guarded with a lot of the information that he does or does not disclose in this case. So I can certainly see it. You know, I mean, those guys swing so hard. You know, so I can see if you had a little bit of a tweaking before there and then being in the rough as much as he was, putting that much force behind the ball in the first place, trying to get out and advance it down the fairway. I certainly, you know, after playing that, who am I to tell him, you know, that his elbow shouldn't hurt after playing that kind of rough?
Yeah, and Nancy Schneiderman, the MD for NBC, said if you've got something like that and it's not all that unusual, and she wouldn't be surprised if other golfers coming off Marion had similar, but of course not as, you know, publicized pains, that you've really got to rest it. And if that's the case, then he should really rest it and be ready for the Open. I've got Justin Rose, lucky to have something that he said. Yeah, last week I was wondering how demoralizing it was for the Players at the U.S. Open who couldn't get the numbers, you know, the under par numbers they're accustomed to, right? These guys basically laugh at par week in and week out. And Marion wasn't given in. Okay, so here's what Justin Rose, he talked about how he felt, but felt only briefly.
A lot of guys faltered coming down the stretch, particularly the last two holes. I mean, I felt pretty despondent for a second or two after finishing last night until I realized that the whole field had trouble on those last couple holes. And I shook that off really quickly and kind of figured out that the last five holes here, you have to treat them differently. You have to sort of take par off the off the scorecard, if you like, and you just got to play them. And maybe two over par is level par for the last five holes.
You know? Yeah, okay, it's not me. It's hard out here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, I know I took par off the scorecard whenever I played the next day. But, you know, it's good. You know what? Good for him. He's right. And, you know, I think it was kind of weird with Marion in that, you know, people thought that double digits under par was going to win. And then obviously it didn't. It kind of dried up over the weekend and it got really, really difficult. And, you know, it's the U.S. Open. There's a lot on the line. It ought to be hard. There's a lot on the line. They ought to be crying and having migraines over every five-footer for everything that's at stake. And so a lot was made at one over winning, but one over won last year with Webb Simpson at Olympic. So it's really not as big of a deal as people make it. If it wasn't made such a big deal early in the week that double digits under par was going to win. So I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, me neither. I thought it was great. It was great television. I imagine being there was amazing. And I wonder, you know, NBC, something that Jeff Shackelford wrote about, NBC's release about hinting at some, Jeff speculates that because they were talking about in the press release that the highest ratings for an East Coast U.S. Open versus a West Coast U.S. Open. Do you think the USGA will go for more West Coast because of the television viewing habits of being in prime time on the East Coast then?
Yeah, I do. And you even look at it. I mean, that's why I'm sort of surprised they haven't even gone back to the Torrey Pines even. I mean, you know, they obviously had Tiger there in 2008, but there are no plans to go back to Torrey. But you got Pebble Beach in the rotation. They had Olympic. They're going to Chambers Bay. You know, here coming up shortly. So I would be shocked if those don't continue to stay in the rotation just because there's such bigger interest. You can have golf at 9 o'clock in the East, you know, and I'm sure you know, look, I work for Golf Channel, which basically is NBC as well, and I'm sure the TV execs are in rooms, you know, constantly with the USGA pushing for that, because it's just more, it's more money. More interest equals more money. So, yeah, it's going to remain in the West Coast. In fact, you know, I'd be surprised if the PGA doesn't find a way to get a West Coast site as well, because I think they're, I think that would actually help the PGA Championship considerably as well, to find a place out west and capitalize on those late night numbers.
Excellent. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Do you have time? I'd love to talk to you about Bubba Watson, his Marion versus his Travelers game. What's wrong with Lee Westwood? You got time?
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need with the industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911. Or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Alamoana Boulevard. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. And a smooth, quiet ride down Alamoana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu's streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. Call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX, where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
We're talking with Jay Coffin, editorial director, GolfChannel.com. He was with Golf Week magazine for 11 years, desk editor, senior writer, editor of digital media. Before Golf Week, he worked for Orlando Sentinel. Coffin's a graduate of University of Central Florida. Got to ask you, did you play college golf?
I did not. I picked up the game fairly late, so I'm a little bit of a hack. So that wouldn't have been a good move.
Oh, me too. You know, my dad taught me how to play the game, but it's interesting when a father teaches you, you know, you kind of like, you're always like, oh, dear, you know, am I doing this right? That's why sometimes I think parents need to move themselves out of the equation, have someone, the child can really just, doesn't feel like, you know, love and doing good on the course are the same thing, which can get in the way a lot in relationships between parent and child. I'd like to talk with you, Jay Coffin, GolfChannel.com, about Bubba Watson at the U.S. Open at Marion versus the Bubba Watson we're seeing at the Travelers. This is, you know, we hear about the course suits a golfer's eye. Now, This is something I want to ask you. We often hear that, you know, Bubba Watson has a very short attention span.
Yeah.
Right? So yep. I'm wondering, did the distractions at Marion, you know, the long rough, the inability to see the baskets, the flags, from the tee box, the hazards, was that too much for him to focus?
Maybe. You know, you can, without naming a ton of names, you can tell the guys who sort of are over it quicker than other guys, if you will, right? And by that, I mean, if it starts to get going sideways,
yeah,
fairly early or at any point, you know, some guys, I don't want to say they're not trying because that's not fair. That's not fair to them. These guys work hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, some guys are just know if they're not going to make the cut, they're not going to make the cut. So, you know, it kind of goes that way with a lot of guys. Like, I was actually impressed with Sergio Garcia. You know, he's kind of another guy that's in that. He got it going sideways early, but he kind of hung on and actually, you know, played well enough to make it to the weekend and then didn't play particularly well. But, you know, I think Bubba's kind of one of those guys, too. He likes to get out there and hit it all over the map, right? And he's not going to hit a ton of fairways. He's going to shape the ball. He's going to hit it and go find it and hit it again. Well, the U.S. Open is kind of hard to do that. You can hit it, and you may find it, but it's going to be hard to hit it again. So I think you kind of add all that up. That's why I think, you know, the Masters, I think, was perfect for him. You know, a British Open, he can play different shots. He's just going to have to come to peace with conditions and playing the ball on the ground a little bit more. And he obviously could win a PGA. It's not quite set up as hard as the U.S. Open. But, yeah, that's the U.S. Open may not exactly be Bubba's favorite major. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and he's been disappointed with himself. I think he would like to have more top 25s. I think it's really cool that he doesn't necessarily want to shoot for the top 10 all the time. But being in the top 25, right?
Yeah, no, and there's nothing wrong with that, and applaud him for stating those goals, you know? I mean, that's what he wanted to do last year after winning the Masters. He realized it was a big deal. He had a lot on his plate, a new baby and everything, and it's like, hey, you know, I'm fine with going out and finishing in the top 25. And, you know, I think I said this last night on a Grey Goose 19th hole show, is I think still, you know, Bubba is still fairly early in his career, but he's won four times, too. So I think we need to find out over the next year or two what kind of a player is Bubba going to be. Is he going to be a guy who's going to win once a year, every year for the next 10 years? Is he going to be a guy who goes 2 years with no wins and then shows up and wins two or three times in 1 year? You know, I still don't think we know exactly what kind of a player Bubba's going to be. He's burst onto the radar. Everybody knows him. People love to watch him. He's going to make Ryder Cups and President's Cup. But is he going to be a guy that wins in spurts or wins regularly and is consistent? And I don't think we know that answer.
I don't think Bubba knows the answer. I think Bubba's like, he knows he's a work in progress, and that's okay. You know,
that is okay.
Yeah, exactly. What I find curious is Lee Westwood. I mean, here's a guy with a ton of talent, a ton of ability. He did okay, I mean, very well at Marion, did he not? And then I find him at the bottom of the leaderboard at the Travelers.
Yeah, I don't know. Ooh, Lee Westwood is, God, what could you say? There's so much you could say. I mean, you're right. He has so much talent. Hits the ball so well. I mean, tee to green is just a fantastic ball striker. And then just does not have a very good short game at all. His chipping is not good. Has this crazy ability to miss 5 or 6 footers that he really needs to make. And that's why, I mean, it's basically why he hasn't won a major. I mean, that's why right there. This year has kind of been a little bit different in that his short game has been a little bit better and his long game hasn't been quite as good. He hasn't been quite as precise with the irons, especially even long irons. So, you know, I don't usually look, you know, as far as this week, I don't usually look at how players do the week after a major too much because you just never know kind of what's going on. I mean, look, I'm tired from the U.S. Open, and I didn't do anything, all right? I mean, I just watched them, and I finally just recovered a couple days ago. So for guys to only take a couple days off and go jump right back into the grind, I don't necessarily knock him. Let's see how he does at the British Open and the PGA. There's still a ton to play for. So he's probably using this week to kind of get back on the horse, see where he is, and tune up for these last two majors.
Gotcha. Okay. Colin Montgomery turns 50. Is it Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Joins the Champions Tour next week in Pittsburgh, Fox Chapel, Constellation Senior Players Championship. Mm-hmm. you know, he's going to be hopping across the Atlantic Ocean. But the question that I think really pops into everybody's mind is, how do you think the fans are going to take to him on the Champions Tour?
I don't know. I hope that they learn to appreciate him, although I'm not sure that that's going to happen. I mean, he's got a history with U.S. galleries, you know, especially U.S. Open galleries.
Yeah.
New York U.S. Open galleries. So I hope they learn to appreciate him because he's one of the game's great characters. So he could actually do well for that tour if he wins because he's such a good talker. You know, when I first got in this business 20 years ago, I couldn't stand Monty. I just didn't like the faces, the scowl, what he said. I didn't think he was a nice guy. Over the last 10 or 15 years, I said, forget that. This guy is fantastic because he always says something. Whenever he says something, you have to have a tape recorder. You have to have your pen and paper ready because he's going to say something and he's going to make a headline. And in our business, you can't get enough guys like that. So I've learned to appreciate him basically as one of the game's great characters, right? You say Monty, and it elicits a reaction from no matter who you talk to, and that is fantastic for golf. And somehow I hope that that, you know, resonates with the Champions Tour. He wins, gets in contention, talks, because he could help that tour a bunch.
A bunch, absolutely. Just one final question that I need to ask you. A lot was made. I mean, this is pace of play month, right,
mm-hmm.
basically. And what did you think about the USGA starting, you know, while we're young, during the USGA's big event, the U.S. Open, while we're watching 5.5-hour rounds?
Yeah, it was a little painful, wasn't it? I mean, look, I think the campaign is fantastic. I think it's brilliant. I think it's really good in the Clint Eastwood and Arnie and Paula and Tiger. I think that's all fantastic. I think the USGA is smart. There are a lot of smart people there. You know, they get knocked around a lot for a lot of things, but a lot of smart people. They had this somewhere. I wish that somebody would have raised their hand in a room somewhere and said, hey, we're really going to roll this out on Wednesday, and then we're going to watch 5.5-hour rounds for the next 4 days.
Yeah.
Why don't we wait till Monday, the day after, and say, hey, because the last 4 days were incredibly slow, we're going to roll out this campaign. It was just kind of bad timing. And look, it took me 5 hours and 20 minutes to play the round, and I am not a slow player at all. It just took forever because the golf course was very difficult. So I don't necessarily blame the players because it was hard. But the timing probably could have been a little bit better.
Jay Coffin, so good to have you on the show. Really appreciate the time you spent with me this morning. GolfChannel.com editorial director. Catch him on Grey Goose Thursday and Friday. It's at midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. Hawaii. But I'll just set your DVR. Make it your time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. Let's do it again soon.
Excellent. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
It's The Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
And welcome back into the clubhouse. We're waiting for James Siekman, Director of Instruction at Shadow Ridge Golf Club, and performance coach. Learn from the pro who teaches the pros, the man with the Phase 5 DV system that is out in July, to give us a call in. His time is now, and that would be terrific if he would give us the call. But in the meantime, okay, on the Champions Tour, Bernard Langer, weather delays. I mean, weather has been an issue for the planet in the past couple of years. This year seems to be just another one of last year's. We've got the weird weather, the floods, the heat, the fires. Floods in Canada, record temperatures in Europe, fires that are just burning up, you know, South Bend, North Bend, it's just South Fork, excuse me, North Fork. It's just really bad. So the clubhouse leader, Bernard Langer, yesterday was asked about dealing with those weather delays.
When you've been sitting around for 3 hours in air conditioning and stuff, and you want to go out and hit a few balls just to loosen up again, hit a couple of putts because the greens are probably slower now, being wet, and certainly want to hit a couple of bunker shots because the sand is now wet, what used to be dry. So everything's changed, you know, the conditions changed. So you want to be familiar with that, and that's all you can do.
You know, that's so important for us to know when you are prepping and you've have to go in because it's raining or there's a delay, like lightning delay. So if you go back on the course, do a little bit of something. Go on the, you know, the green. Check it out. If you've been inside air conditioning, the worst thing, the funniest thing he said, though, earlier is about the weather being something that they're becoming used to. It's just becoming the point. He said, do we have that cut? Let's just listen to what he said, because it's funny.
This year we're used to it. We've had a lot of this. It's like wherever we go, it's raining. So find out where there's a drought in the country, we should go there. It'll be raining. but it's not that hard. You know, they give us 30, 45 minutes to warm up. Even though it was a fairly long break, what was it, 2.5 hours or something, 3.5 even. But, you know, the good thing is we knew we were only going to play 2 more holes.
I think that's great. I mean, he only had 2 holes. He said the bummer is for the guys who had a lot of holes to play and then couldn't get it done by the day and then had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning so that they could get ready so that they could play the next event or the next round. So that's the tough one. And then Duffy, of course, is also a co-leader. Or he was when I went to bed, Duffy Waldorf. And you know that golfers are superstitious, right? You've got to have your pre-shot routine. But that's kind of second to what socks you're going to wear, what accoutrements you've got in your bag. And for Duffy Waldorf, the co-leader at the Champions Tour, the ball markings, they used to be done by the kids. I love this.
Well, there's just some markings. I actually have sometimes I do them, my mom does them sometimes, and I was, you know, there wasn't too much mud. There was actually a little bit of mud on the ball. I like to blame on the mud. My ball went a little left on my second shot, but I just, you know, Mark always done different designs, and my kids used to do them, and now I employ my mom to do it. That one had like kind of like a geometric. Someone from our art class just had filled in the dots and kind of made almost like an octagon shape thing with, could have been like an alien landing. I don't know. It was like a little spaceship. Lots of different circles and colors.
You see what gets talked about when it's a weather delay? You know, everything's very relaxed on the Champions Tour. I hope Monty does well, and he seems very positive about it. Duffy, by the way, is a wine connoisseur. He has got his own fine wine, but he says his passion is buying and enjoying the drinking of said wine. His cellar holds 1,200 bottles. We don't want to start another topic because if James Seekman calls in, I want to get right to him. And so we'll take a break and hopefully he'll call. Otherwise, we'll be going to Maui, not tomorrow, in a couple of minutes. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
The Acura RLX is a beautiful sedan, and now there's the Acura 2014 MDX, a family wagon. The 2014 Acura MDX is just out. It is lighter, stronger, quicker, more fuel efficient. The MDX Premium Grade 7 passenger wagon featuring a more subtle ride and lighter steering, more aerodynamic, more room inside, more fuel efficient, and of course with special Acura leasing and financing available upon approved gift credit, you can have one. It's the Acura 2014 MDX. For years, the term all new has been abused and incorrectly applied in the lexicon of automotive jargon. This is from wheelbasemedia.com. I have not seen this car yet, but they say this is exactly the right term. All new, the 2014 Acura MDX. Premium grade 7-passenger wagon, shares nothing with its predecessor, breaks new ground in content, technology, and fuel efficiency. You gotta see it at Acura of Honolulu. That's 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Oh man, will you look at that? It's right down the fairway. What a beautiful shot. Oh man, can't be too happy about that one. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back, James Seekman, performance coach, the pro who teaches the pro, the Golf Academy at Shadow Ridge. You can get personal instruction, or we've got a surprise for you. There's something new coming to it's July almost, right? It's the end of June. James Seekman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. You have so many students, and I was watching on the range when you were talking on the range with Charlie Hoffman, who then
this week,
and it was great seeing you and hearing you talk. I mean, we hear all about reading the greens. That's something everybody does, right? We got to read the greens, otherwise how are we going to know how to putt? But how many people talk about reading the sand? I thought that was
I would say the ones that their income depends on their performance. They're paying attention to the details. I would say they're reading the sand.
Yeah. Now, can you the soft sand versus hard sand? Things that I don't think some of the recreational players we're talking to, who will want to get your Phase 5 DVD system. Can you talk about how the differences? What changes?
Sure. Absolutely. Well, first off, you want to learn one good bunker swing that will function. Okay, so let's assume that you've done that and you're good out of your home course sand, and now you're traveling. You're going to a different island, different course, whatever, and you walk in there and the sand is brick hard and firm where you're used to playing kind of fluffy sand. Well, if you don't make an adaption to your swing or your setup and you just play normal, you're not going to perform. The ball will come out too far. A lot of times people have trouble in that condition getting the club under the ball. And, so you have to adapt. And you would do the same thing, obviously, if you walk in and you're used to firm sand. And you walk in, they just dump a whole bunch of new sand in the bunker and you sink up to your ankle. So the ball in that case would come out slow. And I always ask my students, let's say you got one bunker that's too soft and one that's maybe drained, it's dried out, brick hard. Let's go with the too soft sand, the too much of it.
Right.
You want more bounce or less on your wedge at impact? Do you think you want to use more bounce or less bounce?
Well, it seems to me like you'd want more bounce.
Exactly right. Now, so you need more bounce. So typically a sand wedge would have more bounce on it than a lob wedge would. Your sand wedge might have 11 to 12, 13 degrees of bounce angle, and your lob wedge might be, it's made with 7. So a sand wedge would always be a better choice. And in addition, the ball comes out short out of a soft sand, so you usually need more club. People miss short. So the first adaption just might be club selection. Firm sand, you defer down to a lob wedge. Soft sand, you defer down to a sand wedge. Even on a really short shot, the tour players I work with would use sand wedge every time. And then, of course, you can also adapt your swing and your setup a little bit to either shallow out your swing or steepen it.
Okay, so the first thing to do is to figure out the sand. Let's make it clear. Can you take a practice swing in the sand?
No, you cannot.
You cannot.
But you can dig your feet in to take a stance, and when you're walking in and digging in, you certainly can get some sort of sense of what the ground is like, and that absolutely should affect your strategy before you hit a shot.
Excellent. Now, you talk a lot during the On the Range segment with Charlie Hoffman about lower body stability and how important that is in the bunker. Can you talk about that?
Right. So, first off, a bunker swing is a unique swing, and you can't be thinking, oh, I'm just going to make a full swing because you won't perform optimally that way. So we want to expose the bounce. We want to use the bounce of the club. That's often talked about, but the real question is, how do you do that? How can you use the back of the club instead of have the leading edge dig? Well, some of it may be in your setup, but most of it is in the sequence or order of your swing. So I always get my players, if you see them, they all kind of sit and they turn their toes outward, like they're almost riding a horse. Okay. Their knees might be out as well. When your toes are turned out and you're sitting, that inhibits hip rotation. It makes it difficult to turn. And if your lower body is stable and you kind of maintain this squat and your arms and club pass your lower body, as the club passes your body, that helps create loft and bounce because the wrist angles are let out. So one of the common mistakes in the bunker is people turn. They turn their hips early, and the club usually digs, and they typically bottom out behind. So lower body stability means we're going to set up a certain way with our stance, and we're going to really have pretty quiet from the hips down. They might turn, but they'll turn after impact, not before. And that helps the club work the correct way through the sand.
I love it. I love it.
Was that too complicated?
No,
I hope that's not too complicated.
No. Okay. That was not complicated. Particularly when you said, like, you know, the horse, people can, even if they don't ride a horse, you know, you have to have your leg, and then and it's really important,
exactly.
The quadricep being engaged, you know,
yes,
when you talk about that, that makes so much sense to me. Someone also on the Range Golf Channel said that it looked like some of your instruction was Seve Ballesteros inspired. Is it?
Yes, absolutely. I think it was Claude Harmon that asked me that because he recognized Charlie's stance and what I was doing and said, yeah, it looks like Stubby back in the day. And the reality is that's 100% true. My oldest brother, Tom, who's 10 years older than I am, played on the PGA Tour for 11 years and European Tour for 7, and just happened to be very close with Stubby, good friends. They play practice rounds together, whatnot. And as a youngster, a high school player or kid and college player, a lot of times I go out on the tour and I caddy for my brother, and you know, I gotta not only study it, but I took video, and I've probably been around the course 6 or 7 times caddying for my brother while he played with Stubby. So
wow.
I certainly gotta see what was good, and not everybody does it that way. So obviously there's different styles, but that's kind of what has inspired me partly to teach the stroke game in a similar manner to what I witnessed there.
Excellent. Of course, if you'd like to schedule a lesson or even a corporate golf event, you can call the Golf Academy at Shadow Ridge. And the number, I'll mention it after we talk some more about Phase 5, 402-333-1100. 402-333-1100. And you can arrange something. But if you can't do that, James Seekman, the pro who teaches the pros, has, I think it's July 2013, right, that this comes out in a couple of days?
No, it's out.
It's out.
It came out about a month ago.
Uh-huh. It's called Phase 5. Was this
Phase 5 System. Phase5System.com. It's the number 5 instead of written out. The number 5 and system.com, you'll get it describes the set, and what I try to do is basically listen, Daniel, I'm not a big fan of tips. I just feel like tips, for the most part, they're not long lasting. There's not an avenue for consistent, long lasting improvement. I always feel like you need a plan. So how do I, as a coach, share my information, but do so in a way where I think everybody will benefit and have a way to work and get better? Well, I basically created different phases, like, okay, phase one of putting, we're going to work on your setup. Phase two, we're going to work on starting the ball online and your rhythm. Phase three, we're going to work on green reading and the mental side. Phase four, so, and then I organize it like with a journal so that you can kind of go in an order and keep track of what you learn. So even though there's a lot of series of like little 3-minute videos, it's structured in a way where it's more like a plan. So let's do this first, let's do this second, let's make sure we're doing this third type of thing.
Yeah. I like how you organized it. You noticed when you were when you put this on, short game masters have superior technique without being technical.
Yes.
I love that. Just that idea that, you know, you're good, but you're not. It's like Seve, right? He wasn't a technical player. He was a feel player.
Right. Very subconscious.
Yeah. And short game masters practice the right things the right way.
Right.
It seems, self-verständlich. It seems a given, but short game masters have an unshakable mental approach. What do you mean by that? An unshakable mental approach?
They understand and believe what they're trying to do, technically, as well as conceptually how to hit different shots, and they... So here's a normal mistake someone makes. They're not sure what they're supposed to do. They hit a bad shot, and let's say they're putting, and this doesn't seem to be working, so then they try an open stance, then they try cross-handed, and then a week later, that guy's got 3 putters in his bag. Okay? So what a short game master, what I'm saying is, they understand how they want to move the club. They have certain ways that they practice that they know that it's correct. It might just take 1 minute, but they know it's correct when they're done. And then if they happen to be putting poorly, they don't search for the magic answer. What they do instead is they circle back to their list of fundamentals, and they just do what they decided they were going to do better. They're thinking, what am I not doing? Instead of search mode, they just circle back to what they know they should be doing.
Exactly. So you go back to what you know. Don't seek something else to change, because you already know what you should... You've been practicing, assuming, of course.
Hold on just a second.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the interesting thing about James Seekman has in his Phase 5 system is very simple instructions. It's a strategy for the short game clubs. Your finesse wedges, your distance wedges... for putting, and it's reading the greens, some of the faults and fixes, and the beauty of this, the whole package, it's founded on the principle that you're going to start with this, work with it, and if after 365 days of working with this, and you don't get a better short game, send it back. It's free. Okay? So...
Yeah.
I
don't want to take anybody's money if I'm not helping them.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, you know?
That's the beauty of it. It's really so. How many is it? A collection of DVDs.
There's 5 DVDs. There's a putting DVD, what I call finesse wedges, which would be chipping inside 30 yards, bunker, distance wedges, which I would consider maybe 30 to your full pitching wedge distance, and then there's a mental game DVD. So there's 5 DVDs, and then there's a journal or booklet that has kind of like a calendar. It's like, do this first, do this second, and there's an area where you can kind of write down what you learned.
Excellent. It's called Phase 5 system. I've just hooked it up on my computer. It's really easy. Phase, P-H-A-S-E, 5, the number 5, and system.com. Simply the fastest, easiest way to shave 5 to 10 strokes off your game, guaranteed, or your money back. And this is assuming that you're going to work it. Okay, kids? It's not... You don't get to just buy it and it works automatically. Unfortunately, there's no chip yet that we can insert in our brain and make it all work. You know, James, one day.
Yeah, there you go.
James Seekman, thanks so much for joining me in the clubhouse.
I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I hope we'll do it again. And I'll certainly post the entire segment online, both on Twitter and Facebook, if you'd like to hear it. And it's available podcast at radiogolfclub.com. You can get the RSS feed. It's at iTunes and at Stitcher Radio. James Seekman, thanks again. Aloha. We'll be back right after this. Scott Henrich, standing by. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
The Acura RLX is a beautiful sedan, and now there's the Acura 2014 MDX, a family wagon. The 2014 Acura MDX is just out. It is lighter, stronger, quicker, more fuel efficient. The MDX Premium Grade 7 passenger wagon featuring a more subtle ride and lighter steering, more aerodynamic, more room inside, more fuel efficient, and of course with special Acura leasing and financing available upon approved credit. You can have one. It's the Acura 2014 MDX. For years, the term all new has been abused and incorrectly applied in the lexicon of automotive jargon. This is from wheelbasemedia.com. I have not seen this car yet, but they say this is exactly the right term. All new, the 2014 Acura MDX. Premium grade 7 passenger wagon shares nothing with its predecessor, breaks new ground in content, technology, and fuel efficiency. You gotta see it at Acura of Honolulu. That's 777 Ala Moana Boulevard.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Okay, kids, I want a big round of applause for Danielle because she passed the test that James Seekman gave me. Do you want more or less bounce if the sand is soft? You want more bounce, okay? I don't usually get tested during my show. Scott Henrich, PGA, over on Maui at El Air Maui Golf Club. He's about to spend the day. It's Junior Golf Days. And he's got this golf program going on Saturday and Sunday. Great price. What's the price for it? Welcome to the show, Scott.
The price is $50 for both days.
$25 a day. That's fantastic.
It is a great deal.
Yeah.
And if you couldn't make it both days, then we just charge $25.
Fantastic. Now, when's the next one? Because I know it's happening now.
Right. We had one earlier in the month. We'll probably do one in August. Probably one or two in August.
Fabulous. So we just get in touch with El Air. That's on the Wailea side. It's between Wailea and, Kihei. Kihei and Wailea. So when you come from the airport, you come and make a left turn. That's after you go through across the isthmus and go past the dunes at Maui Lani, make a turn, and then you'll see the sign on the left side of the road that says El Air, and you go up the mountain, and there you are, right?
Right, absolutely. It's just across the street from the senior center and the pool.
Excellent, excellent. Now, what are you teaching the juniors?
We're teaching them the short game, chipping and putting, full swing, etiquette, rules of golf.
The rules of golf. Missy Jones is coming up, and she's with the USGA. We're going to talk about the rules of golf. When you teach them the rules of golf, you do it like a, you do it, you don't give them a rule book and say, okay, let's sit down and let's figure this out, right?
No, we go over simple things like tee box, marking the ball, lateral water hazards, simple rules. We have The PGA puts out a simple rules book in simple English for beginners to read and understand, so it isn't quite as difficult.
Excellent. You've been a professional athlete most of your life. And
yes, I have.
Yeah, so you put emphasis on physical fitness. Does that come into play when you teach the juniors?
Well, not so much with the juniors, but when I work with senior people, my students have issues with back problems and stretching, so I have a stretching drills and a weightlifting drills to help them improve their distance and flexibility.
And so flexibility and weight. See, I hear so much emphasis put on flexibility. You know, being flexible is so important. Yeah, it is. But I don't hear a lot about weight training. As we get older, though, the bones need that, don't they?
Absolutely. You need to keep your muscles as well as strong and flexible as well.
Yeah. And you teach adults, I'm assuming, right, with audio and visual techniques and all those things that make golf
definitely.
Fun?
Definitely. Yes, definitely. I do private group lessons, and every Wednesday from 6 to 7, I do a free clinic. Anybody can come out. I can work on any aspect of the game. I'll look at their swing, give them tips, and it's free.
Stop. Did you just say it's a free clinic?
Yes, every Wednesday evening from 6 to 7.
Wednesday, L.A., 6 o'clock. Be there. This is Scott Henrick. What's your? You want to give out your number in case somebody wants, you know, to?
Oh, absolutely. My cell is 808-283-9987.
That's 808-283-9987. And, you know, I searched Scott Henrick, H-E-N-R-I-C-H, and it was so easy to find information, and even his cell phone number was right there in the search. So get in touch with him. Wednesday, 6 o'clock in the evening, you can get a free clinic with him, and he'll give you tips, ideas, and then you can set up a lesson, because that's really important if you want to improve your game. Getting in it, and it don't, I mean, people hear lessons, they think piano lessons, you know. Oh, God, I'm going to sit down. It's not. It's fun, and practicing can be fun, too. And especially when you're, you know, at the driving range, do you kind of cruise the range when that's what I always like when I'm on the range and somebody says, you know, Danielle, that's not quite the right. I wish not somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, but a professional would walk up and say, you're doing good. You're doing
absolutely.
It right. Yes.
I'll walk up and down the range and I'll notice if something is a little off, I'll offer to give a tip and introduce myself. And a lot of times I have people that are already waiting for me.
Excellent.
But it's free to anybody. You just have to purchase your own range balls and come on out and introduce yourself. I'd be more than happy to work with them.
L.A. Maui Golf Club, Scott Henrick, thanks so much for joining him in the clubhouse. It's great to meet you and great to talk to you. And L.A. is a great club, Maui Golf Club, L.A. Maui Golf Club. It's between Kihei and Wailea on Maui. My name is Danielle Tucker. We're going to be back with Missy Jones and Scott Henrick. Thanks so much for joining me in the clubhouse. Aloha.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
The 2014 Acura RLX and RLX Advance. Go test drive this car at Acura Honolulu, 777 Ala Moana Boulevard. I want a tight turning radius. You'll get that in the Acura RLX. I want a responsive engine. You'll get that in the Acura RLX, and a smooth, quiet ride down Ala Moana Boulevard. You'll get that. It's so good on the nerves on Honolulu streets. But don't take my word. Test drive the 2014 Acura RLX. call for an overnight test drive. You heard right. Call General Sales Manager TJ Jones for your appointment to visit Acura of Honolulu. Your time's valuable. Book it. Call 942-4555. Meet with TJ and the RLX expert. There is so much to Acura's RLX, where luxury meets high tech. Acura's flagship sedan. Take it home. Keep it overnight. See how it fits in your life. You heard right. Acura of Honolulu will wash and vacuum your current car while you're experiencing the Acura RLX. And when you bring it back, find out when you can take your Acura RLX or RLX Advance home. The number is 808-942-4555. His name is TJ. The car is the Acura RLX. It's an amazing car, and I'm not easily amazed.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
It just so happens we have the perfect person to ask, because I certainly don't know the rules, all the rules of the game of golf. In fact, I feel sometimes intimidated by all the rules of the game of golf. Missy Jones, on the other hand, is not. She is the vice president of the Montana Golf, that is Montana State Women's Golf Association, the marketing and creative director for the state newsletter, and on the rules committee for the Montana State Golf Association and the Arizona Women's Golf Association. And she is the OIC for the NCAA D1 Women's Western Regional and NCAA Rules Committee. Yo, welcome to the show, Missy Jones.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi. So, if the mongoose, which is kind of like a gopher, steals your ball, if a bird flies down and grabs you, what's the rule? What do you do?
Well, that would be an outside agency, and so you would just put your ball back.
Just as simple as that. Excellent. Okay, let's talk. Pace of play, role of good officials versus, you know, the players, and the rules of golf explained in the USGA videos. It's pace of play month, and we're talking to people who, this is the attitude, okay? I paid my green fees, just like the guy behind me did, and I'm going to take whatever time it takes for me to play my round of golf, because I paid my green fees. We're up against people who think that because they've paid for something, they should just be able to take their time. What is your message to them?
Well, I think a lot of people don't really feel like they're wasting a lot of time if the pace of play is consistent. You know, we may take 5 hours to play a round, but as long as we're not waiting on each hole, we're not aggravated. And so I think the big key is just to keep the pace running at a smooth level, so that people don't feel like they're waiting. That's when people start having a problem with it.
Okay, and pace of play can be slowed up by something as simple as not parking your cart in the right place, right? And you have to walk back, or leaving your cart and then not taking a couple of clubs and then having to go back and forth to your cart. But tell us some of the things, you know, ready golf. Tell us some of the things that we can do to improve the pace of play.
Well, there's a lot of things that an individual player can do. I mean, they can line up their putt while someone else is putting. They can be ready to hit. You don't need to sit in your golf cart and drive 10 feet to the next ball. Get out. There's a lot of things that individuals can do to speed up pace of play, but there's a lot of things that courses can do as well. Don't make your rough be really long. Don't make your green speeds be crazy. You know, people should tee it forward. There's a lot of things that individuals as well as courses can do to speed up the pace of play.
I like number five. When you go to your website and some of the things you've written in number five, pace of play, figure out your yardage as you walk or drive to your ball. Can you extrapolate
right
on that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big thing. A lot of us, you know, a professional may need to know that it's exactly 136 yards, but I probably guess most recreational players have a club that's about, you know, a 10 or 15 yard, you know, radius right in there. They don't need to know exactly. So figure it out. You know, think about your game as you're walking to your ball. You know, that's really easy to do. You know, that's quick.
Right. Okay. Helping others in your group. That's a great idea. How can I help somebody?
Well, a lot of things you can do is, you know, don't just stand there and watch them while they're raking the bunker when they're going to be the out person to hit. You know, let them go play their ball. You rake it for them. You help fix their pitch marks. You know, you pick up their club that they left further down. You know, there's a lot of things we can do to keep our whole group moving instead of just yourself.
What do you think of playing best ball formats, whatever, to make it more fun for people who aren't that good?
You know, I think that's a great way to play. You know, people in Europe do that all the time, and their pace is wonderful. They do a lot of match play, a lot of Stableford type of competitions. You know, I think it actually adds more interest to the game because people don't really do that a lot here. So I think it's a new fun way to play the game.
Excellent. I have to do this real quick for the FCC. These are the stations we're on. KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. We're also at RadioGolfClub.com. You can listen to us live, or you can get the podcast, or you can go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio. We're talking with Missy Jones. She goes, and she was at the USGA U.S. Open. Aren't you on your way to the U.S. Women's Open?
I am. I'm about 40 miles from New York City right now, my way to Sabonic.
Sabonic, and what do you do when you go to a course to get ready to officiate an event like this, the U.S. Women's Open?
Well, I'm not going to be working as a walking rules official at the Women's Open. I'll be working on the TV rules committee for the women's this year. It just depends. Each event is a different deal, what you do. Like at the NCAA, I set up the course and do all this stuff, you know, run the whole tournament. So it just depends on the event. But at Sabonic, I will actually be working with the TV crews and getting them in and out of crowds, making sure that they work within the competition and don't get involved in the competition, and, you know, help them explain when there's a rule situation.
Tell me, have you been in a situation where a TV crew has gotten involved in the game?
No, not in a, not where it's actually been a penalty or anything, but there are times where I'm driving the cart and I have a TV crew and they want to get up there and get right in the middle of things, and I'll kind of drive slower because I know I don't want them right up there next to that situation.
All righty. So you're in charge of the television crew. I like that. Telling them what they can and cannot do, which is pretty much what, you know, people think of rules officials as. Let me step back before we talk about, you know, rules officials being the bad guy or the good guy. Let me ask you about, what do you think of people calling in, and where do they get the phone number to call in a rules violation?
Well, a lot of times when somebody calls in on a rules violation, it's probably a pretty educated rules person who saw it, and they know a friend who's at the event, and that's who they call.
Uh-huh.
So that's generally how the wheels start turning there. I think the biggest thing a rules official wants to do is get it right. They want to get it right for the player, and they want to get it right for the field. No player wants to go to bed at night thinking they got away with something, so they really do want to get it right.
All right. Okay, but some people have the camera on them more often than others. And why not have, I don't know, somebody in the trailer, in the television, you're working with the TV crew, why isn't someone like you sitting and watching the broadcast so you can see these things and then you can call on site what's happening?
Absolutely agree. And even, you know, we would be able to see all the play that's going on, and we could be able to call the attention to the officials who are down out there in the field so that we can get it handled in a timely manner before anybody signs a card. But a big part of that, too, would be an official can have an informed decision when we get to a decision-making stage on a ruling. You know, we are actually seeing it. So I think that's a great idea. I would love to see more rules people involved.
In the telecast.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, because we really want to get it right before they're signing a wrong scorecard, because then, you know, the deal's done. That's a bad place to be. So I think the more educated people you can have there during the tournament, the better you can get things resolved quickly, and you don't have those situations like Tiger at the Masters, things like that.
Yeah, it's sloppy. it looks sloppy. It looks like we don't really know what we're doing to the casual viewer. And if we want more people to get involved in the game, you want to at least make a good impression.
Well, and it's unfortunate, too. As a rules official, every time something like that happens, the rules of golf get a bad rap, and it really doesn't need to be that way. It gives the impression that they're really a lot harder than they are.
All right. You explained something very well about the way the USGA conducts major championships, and I'm going to strike that statement, major. I don't mean the U.S. Women's Open. I don't mean the U.S. Open. I mean the U.S. amateur events, let's say, okay, where or NCAA events. I believe that that's the case, and you can correct me because I don't know nothing about the rules. Let's say there's a group of people, and you're following this group, and they're in a time box, and they have to be on a hole number 7 by a specific time, and if not, they're not there, they get in trouble. Will you explain that, please?
Well, each different competition has its own pace of play, and generally, at the smaller events, you're basically wanting to make sure that they reach a checkpoint by a certain amount of time. But they have three, sometimes, golf is golf. We have bad play issues, and there you have two or three holes to catch up before you're actually going to be timed. Now, at the major events, we give them time parts. So say at Marion, it was 4 hours and 39 minutes. The first four groups, basically, are going to try and stay, the officials are going to keep them on that time. But then it basically becomes, you just need to keep up with the group ahead of you. And we have very specific definitions of what out of position means. And, what happens is that the entire field starts slowing down, and that's where we get the five-hour round. As long as each group is keeping up with the group ahead of them, we can't really ask any more of them than that.
No, you're right.
And so that's why, we have a five-hour round at a U.S. Open. But, and I heard a lot of people saying, isn't it ironic that they're, boosting the pace of play policy, and while we're young projects, while we're playing five-hour rounds, and I think it actually was a perfect place for them to talk about that, because when you are testing the world's best, we have long rough, we have long yardage, we have hard, 14 on the stint meter. That is exactly what you should not do at your home club if you want to have a good pace of play.
Okay. You do put a lot of pressure on those first guys that are starting off, though, don't you? I mean, you guys will get this ball rolling, because otherwise...
Right. And as a tournament administrator, when I'm out there and I'm in control of figuring out the pairings, I guarantee you I'm sending out somebody that I know is quick off the first two or three groups, because I know that they're going to set the pace for my entire day.
Excellent. Now, you've been working really hard with USGA on some videos that we all can access and actually become at least acquainted with the rules of golf. I'm going to be really upfront with you, and I tell Mary B. Porter King all the time, she's on my show frequently. And
I just saw her last week.
Yeah, she's wonderful. I love Mary B. She was one of my first guests when I started the show 15 years ago.
And
when I talk to recreational players, I say, kids? You're going to make it very clear that you're not playing by the rules of golf, because you probably don't know them all, and you're out there to have fun. You've just gone down to play around. You're paying $60, and you're spending 4 hours together. If you can't find your ball, just forget about it. If you spend a minute looking for it and you can't find your ball, forget about it. Just grab a ball, drop it, and go. At some point, you got to just give it up and have some fun. Right? That's the way I approach. But if you're going to play by the rules, then we should know the rules and be comfortable with them. Tell us about these USGA videos that you have that we can get familiar with.
Well, if you go to USGA-rules.com, we have 12 videos up there right now that explain your basic, lateral water hazards and dropping from a cart path and all of the basic stuff that the majority of the world needs, to play the game. We're working also on where we can send out kits to, say, a high school coach where he can teach the rules of golf to his team. So those will be launched at the end of this year. you know, we're really good at the USGA at teaching people how to be rules officials, but we're not so great at teaching just your average player how to play by the rules. And I think these really, really are helpful.
Excellent, excellent. And I'm not, you know, telling people to violate the rules. I'm just saying if we're going to keep the pace of play going and these people have just started the game, then for them to have to follow the rules of the game and try to keep the pace of play going, it's not going to work.
Well, sometimes if you know the rules, you actually can play quicker. You know that to play a provisional ball, or you know you have only 5 minutes to look for your ball. I've seen many recreational players out there taking 7, 8, 9 minutes. Well, that's not playing by the rules, and they're taking longer. So,
there you go.
I think there's a way to play by the rules. And you know, you're right. A recreational player does not need to do everything exactly by the book. But, you know, if you're establishing a handicap and you want to become a serious golfer, you really need to be doing it the way the rest of the world is.
Thank you. Exactly. Exactly, that's now is before I say thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Is there a burning desire that you've got that I didn't fulfill for you that you want to express about? You guys aren't the bad guys. You are actually helping the players on the course because the rules can help you play the game better.
Absolutely. I think rules officials sometimes get the bad rap. We're really not sitting behind a billboard saying, gotcha, because we want to bust you and give you a penalty. We truly walk up to a player, and good rules officials will say, how can I help you? We feel like teachers instead of cops, and that's what a good rules official does.
I love it. That's Mary B. in a nutshell. She's a good person. Okay, is there anything else that I've left out that we could take up right now?
No, Danielle, I think that's great.
Missy Jones, thanks for being on the show. I enjoyed tweeting with you. You can follow
yes.
Missy, and it's MissyJon, and then Jones. The Jon in between there confused me in the beginning.
That's my middle name, John. Missy John Jones.
Gotcha. Thank you. All right.
Thanks so much, Danielle.
Thank you, Missy. Aloha. We'll be back after this. Steve Fluke. Now, this is something for somebody who's got a friend who doesn't know how to play, like, you know, a real close friend, but you'd like to share your love for the golf on the golf course, and she doesn't know or he doesn't know how to play. It's called Easy Golf, and it's a whole new concept. They've got it at Princeville, where you can rent this if you're on vacation. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Star Protection Agency, providing security across Hawaii since 1991. Licensed and bonded. Property guard and patrol services. Loss prevention. Star Protection provides the security you need. The industry-leading internet-based reporting system. One call does it all. 532-3911 or on the web at starprotectionagency.com. Star Protection, locally owned with people you trust.
It was our office manager's birthday, and she loves golf. So we decided to get together for golf at Poipu Bay, and we invited a bunch of our customers. It turned into a party. The clubhouse restaurant made a fabulous lunch. The customers had a great time and met the people they give orders to. They were golf buddies long before the 19th hole. Golf at Poipu Bay. Family, friends, business, and fun at Poipu Bay Golf Course on Kauai's South Shore. Spectacular. Call 742-8711 and book your tee time, get together, or event at Poipu Bay. That's 742-8711. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore Gem.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
The Executive Women's Golf Association, well known in the mainland, and everybody says, why isn't there one here in Hawaii? Well, it's because there aren't a lot of women who have a lot of free time. If they do, they just want to go play the golf. They don't want to organize things. And there are a few women. They organize the Mid-Pacific Country Club's Jenny Kay. You know, they're women who are organizing the Hawaii State Women's Golf Association events. Women who are organizing the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association events. Women are always doing things. It's one of the things. So anyway, we have a woman who has time to do this, and she's interested in organizing an Executive Women Golf Association chapter in Hawaii. So if you'd like to come to a free meeting, an information meeting, today, it's at Seven Palms Bar, the old Sam Sneeds, over at Navy Marine Golf Course, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a meetup there. We're going to meet. I'm going to be there. We're going to see if enough people come and show up to actually put together an Executive Women Golf Association meeting. No, you don't have to be an executive. I'm not an executive. That's just an EWGA. Okay? So, there we have it. Now, what about this thing I was talking about? I teased you and I didn't give it to you right away. Gee, I'm not right. Steve Fluke, formerly the pro with the Northern California section, who knows that this isn't really golf, but it's a great way for people to play on a golf course, pay the regular green fees, and enjoy the outdoors with someone who can play the game. Co-founder and president, Easy Golf, Steve Fluke. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Danielle. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Now, when did you come up with this idea? I think we should start off right away with the equipment that you use for Easy Golf. I mean, how does that work? Because I saw a video. It's a trip.
Right. Well, believe it or not, it's a self-propelled golf club technology, and it was originally started as far as the initial invention some time ago by a retired aerospace engineer, Roy H. Taylor. And I got involved many years ago because he needed the contributions of someone who knew golf in and out, and I've been involved with golf all of my life since my junior golf days and so on and so forth. And basically, the technology, as I mentioned, is self-propelled, so you basically looks just like a golf club, grip, a shaft, a club head, and you dial in the yardage to your desired distance from 50 yards all the way up to 225 yards, and every yardage in between, you address the ball just like traditional golf, but instead of swinging, you push a button on the grip handle, and the insert, the center of the club face, comes out about an inch and a half and hits the ball down the fairway or onto the green.
That's giving pull the trigger a whole new meaning.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I like to say it's for the 92% that don't participate. I mean, look, they'll never be a replacement to the actual traditional game of golf, but there's so many people out there who either used to play or would always love to be out on the golf course, but never either had the time or the physical ability or want to make the commitment to actually do it the proper way. So this is for everybody else, and they play right along with traditional golfers. I like to say it's course-friendly because you take no divots using this, and everybody can participate now.
I love it. See, let's say you're honeymooning. You're honeymooning on Kauai, right? Because it's at Princeville, right?
Right, it's at Princeville, yeah.
Right. And you talked to Tom Freestone over there, right?
That's right.
Good friend of mine. Great guy. All right, so you're honeymooning on Kauai, and you're a golfer, and you're like in the middle of like golf heaven. You know, there's Princeville, there's all these different courses, like Poipu Bay, there's like anyway, you're just looking at all these courses. That's Lanai, but never mind, Danielle. And so you want to take her, you want to go golf. Let's just not beat around the bush. You want to go play a round of golf.
Sure.
But you've got your bride. And, she doesn't know nothing about golf.
You're in a bad situation right there. Yeah.
You're like, okay, what am I going to do? Honey, you want to ride around in the cart with me all day? No, probably not. Well, maybe she does. But how about if she got to, or he, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a girl. I know.
No, it could be the lady who's the golfer and he doesn't play.
Exactly.
You know, both ways. Sure.
Exactly. And he feels even more left out. Like, I don't want to go make a fool of myself. But so this, and you should go online, E-Z-E-E, golf. And then the club goes on the grass. The ball is where the ball's supposed to be in front of the club. And you figure out the yardage on the club. You turn the knob. And this is how far I want to hit it approximately. You can ask your friend who plays the game how far it is.
That's the yardage.
Right? And then you just press the button and this little gizmo pops, hits the ball, and bingo, you don't have to swing it.
Yeah, That's right. Well, I mean, everybody, you go on a golf course and you see the 150-yard marker, so you just set it for 150, or if you're a little behind it or in front of it, you can set the yardage accordingly. But, you know, going back to your example there, instead of, you know, the spouse being kind of left off and just, you know, riding in the cart all day, they can go ahead and join right in on the fun. The one is playing golf. The other one's playing easy golf. They're playing together. They're having a great time.
Yeah.
Period.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is fun.
Yeah.
And I bet it'd be fun for kids, too. Do you have kids' clubs, or can kids use the same club?
You know, it's not really designed for kids, but they could. You know, they can either go to a participating course and just rent the set, which comes with the easy golf club itself, and a little wedge and a putter, because anybody can bump it along 5 or 10 yards, even if they're not good at it, and they can putt. It's just that tee to green. But at this point, we're limited just at the Mackay. We're hoping to expand to all different courses throughout the islands and different places throughout the world. But people can also just go ahead at this time and go online and purchase the club at www.ezeegolf.com, the letter E, letter Z, letter E, letter E, golf.com. But again, our bottom line is we just want to make golf and the golfing experience accessible for everyone. Whether you're old, young, physically fit, physically challenged, or limited, men, women. So now there is no reason why everyone cannot enjoy our golf courses.
So
the traditional way, of course, or going easy golf way.
Yeah, I like it. So it's part, you know, like you said, in partners of avid golfers, physically challenged, those with time limitations in their lives, or people who don't really have the time to practice and actually get good enough to play with their friends. You know,
well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then a lot of people will start through their golfing experience through easy golf and then slide over to the traditional game. And that's fine, too. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are happening. And, I mean, if you live long enough, you're going to have some physical limitations. They're golfers all their lives, and they're sliding over to easy golf because they just can't do it anymore, you know. And they still might have the chipping and the putting down, but they just can't. They don't have the full swing anymore. So really, it's for everybody, and everybody can get out there. Because, you know, whether you're 100 years old or what have you, you know, everybody wants to have fun. That never gets old.
No kidding. Where is this made?
It's made in the USA, not too far outside of Silicon Valley, here in Northern California, in Livermore, California, and so it's all made right in the U.S.
And how many courses are actually renting them?
We just have a few courses online now because we just recently moved into mass production. So we have a quantity limitation, unfortunately, a production limitation this time. So, you know, it's a little bit different than, you know, putting a shaft on a club head and a grip and calling it a day. You know, there's 30 parts to it.
30?
Yeah, and the technician has to put it together. So it's put together very, very well, but it's something that we don't have, like, unlimited volumes at this stage. But,
right.
We're doing a pretty good job. We're shipping it, and actually we're in 4 different countries now. And so it's getting out there. It's pretty popular right now.
I'm curious. You know, yeah, Chaz just said, I just was thinking I could do this. It's good for disabled.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you know. It's...
Oh, sure. I know we work with the Wounded Warrior groups. We work with a lot of people. We have stroke survivors that use it. People with MS, and all the way to people that just maybe they rolled out of bed and their back's a little tight and they can't play the traditional game that day, so they're going to have their easy golf club as a backup.
Right on.
You know?
Yeah. So if your back stops, oops,
well,
it happens. I'm not making fun.
No, well, it's good because, you know, I mean, let's say if you have a rotator cuff and you've got an operation, you can't play for 6 months, let's say. Well,
that's
what are you going to do?
Right, and that's a bummer. Do you mind if I have one piece of advice that I want to play for our real avid golfers, you know, people who are looking for information? It's Justin Rose. And it was really wonderful hearing Justin Rose talk about his dad and his mom and his sister, because his sister's about to give birth. Heck, she probably had the baby. He said the stress of watching on television is worse for the relatives than for the player, right? So he talked about coming out a bit too soon on tour, maybe before he was really ready for it. He talked about missing the cut 21 times after turning professional.
Well, he's doing pretty well now, though.
Yeah, he's doing really good. He fell in love with Marion, yes. And this is what he said about preparing his mental game with his caddy and how, listen to this, how this can help you, okay?
Yeah, we had a very sort of narrow framework of thoughts this week. We had three or four thoughts, you know, which are all process-driven. You know, what's the appropriate shot? Execute it, accept it, move on. And, you know, just keep running that over and over and over and over again. And if you start getting outside of that, you're really, you're not bringing anything helpful into the mix. So that takes a lot of discipline to think that way, to act that way, to do that for 72 straight holes. And we managed to do it. I think my caddy and I both got on the same page this week, and we both helped each other out from that point of view. If he felt himself getting off, you know, he had the vision to get back on track, and if he could see me getting off, we could talk about it. And it was good that we both had a very clear game plan this week.
You know what's important to remember is that we don't have caddies, okay?
Right.
But tell your self-talk to stop being so negative and move on to the next shot. That may be the most difficult right. thing you accomplish in life. Controlling your self-talk, which is always negative. Well, not always. You know, there's some people who are blessed yeah. with that positive voice in their head.
But, right, yeah, right.
Right? But so many of us, as a professional player, at least one point, you're no longer with as a PGA professional, right?
Steve? No, I'm not, no longer. I'm still closely associated with many of my friends throughout the PGA sections across the country. But,
And caddy programs. There are a couple of golf courses that have caddies. There's one in Arizona that they'll actually get you a four caddy and a caddy,
right.
which
right.
it's like at the Kierland. That's so much fun, you know, having that experience. But I think caddies need to be used more. I think the idea of letting kids be caddies and for them to get into the game that way, it just makes so much sense, doesn't it?
I grew up in Oakland, California, and near the Sequoia Country Club, and we didn't have that kind of money for a country club membership. But I hustled up the hill on the weekends and shagged balls and caddied, and that's how I kind of got my start. And actually paid for my junior golf tournaments that way. Working hard for the kids and getting started maybe through caddying would be good. They should bring more of that back. I think it'd be good for the kids, and I think the members would appreciate it as well. It's a nice touch.
It is a nice touch. It's good talking Steve Fluke, and he started something, EZ Golf, and it's a great idea for people who don't play the game but would like to spend some time with someone who loves the game. And that person would like to bring them along too. For the physically challenged, for wounded warriors, Steve Fluke works with everybody. Co-founder, president, EZ Golf. And you can find it at ezgolf.com. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Danielle. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My pleasure. We're going to come back again next week and talk some more golf. I think we're going to be talking a lot about the U.S. Women's Open. That's for sure. It's going to be a very interesting event to see how NB Park does. I mean, if she wins the U.S. Women's Open this year, that'll make it three majors in a row. And that's something that the likes of Babe Zaharias has accomplished, you know, in her lifetime. But very few have done that. So it'll be very interesting to watch on television. So I thank you very much for being on the show, and I thank you all for making this show possible. Brought to you by Acura of Honolulu. Now more than ever, choosing an Acura just makes sense. You know how much traffic we drive through every day, and if you're in the traffic, you should be comfortable. The RLX and RLX Advance, go test drive it at Acura of Honolulu. You can leave your car overnight. It'll get washed and cleaned. You can take your Acura RLX home, see how it fits in your garage, see how the turning radius works. You want to be comfortable when you buy a new car. See if it fits in your life. That's what I mean. It's Acura of Honolulu. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Okay, you know that Robert Trent Jones Jr. designed the course. He had a spectacular place to do it. Go to Poipu Bay Golf Course. It doesn't matter whether you're a great golfer, just tee it forward. You don't have to tee it from those tee boxes, you know, or just go forward. Don't worry about it, you know. Don't let your ego get in the way of you having fun. That's a big one, isn't it? So it's a unique, unforgettable golf experience at Poipu Bay Golf Course, and that is Kauai's South Shore Gem. Star Protection. First of all, you have the guys from Star Protection come over, and they'll assess your property. Okay, they'll see what kind of threat or risk there is involved with your property. See where the weak links are. And then they'll design a protection plan for your home or your business, for your concert, your special event, whatever it happens to be. You get the STAR team on your property. STAR Protection, what you need there in Hawaii and in California. I want to thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2013.